Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It is 11:10. I'm just looking at the text line. You can call or text throughout the show, and we love it that you do, especially when you call. Sometimes it's easier to text. John, I deliver mail throughout this whole pandemic, and nobody has worried about me. These teachers need to grow up and get back to work. I started the show today reading an email from a teacher who said he doesn't understand or does not think that the teachers deserve the hostility being thrown their way because some of them don't want to go back into the buildings. And I have 100% sympathy for those teachers. And by the way, if you deliver mail, I think a lot of people have worried about you, have thanked you, and have appreciated you. I mean, God bless the people that have been coming door-to-door delivering Amazon packages, and we're getting our coffee, and we've all along been working at the grocery store. That felt very brave for a few months there. So thank you all for that. Let's not eat our young, folks. That's a new saying I just invented. I'm not sure that it's entirely applicable here, but...
So what are you saying? Let's not eat our young. Let's not send the kids to school, or...
I'm saying let's not turn on each other. Let's not have the mail deliverers go, well, I've got it bad, and the teachers don't have it as bad as me. Let's not fight amongst ourselves. Nobody wins that. The mail deliverers have been, I think, worried, rightly so, and have been doing... important work bravely, selflessly. And so too of the people that get your groceries at the grocery store. I mean, right? And so if the teachers are worried about going back to work, everybody's circumstance is different. But if a teacher says, I'm worried about this and I'm not sure I want to do it, let's not turn on them and say, well, I went to work, so you've got to go to work too. Let's not do that.
But what if the mail carriers did say that? What if they had said that, we're not going to do the mail anymore? We've got a union. We're going to do a safety strike. They didn't do that.
Well, the teachers were talking about it in Chicago.
Well, I know, and that's what prompted, I think, the remote learning. But you know, they give them their props. They didn't. They did the job.
I think, for instance, a letter carrier is working largely outdoors, except for the processing center where they pick up and load their trucks. It's largely an outside job. Grocery store workers, not so much. Man, that was.
Yeah, but there was a time when we really thought that it could be, it could, I mean, we laughed, I laughed at Elif in the very beginning.
Worried about opening packages from China?
Worried about it being in packages and envelopes and things like that, living there.
You still kind of chuckle about that, don't you?
Well, I mean, I think we've gone away from the contact as much as, we were before. But, but the mail carriers, they stepped up. They did it when we were all very afraid of
that. Okay, fine. All right, then let's do talk about the teachers. If a teacher doesn't want to go to the building because they're worried about the kids giving it to them or them bringing it home or them getting it one way or another, that is a 100% valid emotion to have. They're not just inventing that. They're not being scaredy cats.
No.
A 55-year-old teacher, of course, doesn't want to get COVID. It could kill them.
I mean, look, let me be clear. I don't have the solution to this. I don't even know what my opinion is. But a lot of people who've been concerned about getting sick have been going to work. Okay? I mean, that's just the truth.
It is.
But again, I don't know what to do with schools. I don't have an opinion.
But most of those people, quote unquote, going to work, a lot of them are working from home. Very few people are working in populated areas where there are hundreds of people.
The people who were going to their jobs were the people who didn't make much money. That's the difference here.
And I'm sorry, Steve, but I don't know who we're talking about. Office buildings are empty. Large populations of people working in one place don't exist anymore, with the exception of maybe grocery stores.
Okay, grocery stores, meatpacking facilities, all of these places where people were going, even though they might have been afraid, the difference is they weren't making much money.
Are you and I arguing right now?
I don't know what about, but I think we are. I really don't know what about.
Okay, but I think that even then, I think that the circumstances of a teacher in a school is just a unique set of circumstances. Confined spaces with little people coming and going, and you as a 50-plus-year-old teacher worried about your safety. I think that there aren't many people working who have to work in a situation like that. Boy, you got me with the meat packers. But, of course, they had to close down some of those places because they all got sick.
Right. Health clubs are open now.
Are they really?
Yeah.
For how many people?
25% of their capacity.
I'll bet you most of the health clubs are safer environments than the classrooms will be that the teachers will go back into. If you said, okay, you've got to go to work tomorrow, you're going to work in a classroom or a health club facility, which would you take? I would take the health club facility. I would rather work in a gym than in a classroom with a bunch of snotty little kids.
Okay.
And by the way, I mean mucus-filled, not ill-behaved.
Right. Or both. But I don't. That's an apples and oranges choice.
Because, why is that an apples and oranges
choice? Because the choice is to go back to your job as a teacher or not. I mean, you could say, would you rather go back as a teacher or as a meatpacker? And then you'd say, well, clearly you'd rather go back as a teacher.
I have a joke about apples and oranges. You want to hear it?
I don't know if I do.
Some people say that Steve Jobs would be a better president than the president of the United States. But I say that's comparing apples to oranges. That's a little joke somebody sent in to the radio show.
Are you still mad at me?
Lou Manfredini is our Mr. Fix-It, and he joins us now here on WGN.
Am I going to weigh in on this?
You don't have to, but you can. You run a hardware store. People come in and out of your business all the time.
Steve mentioned early on, you know, when we didn't know anything, right? I mean, I think that we can all agree that the only thing that we know about this stupid virus so far is that it changes every week. What they tell us, right? Well, now you got to do this. Now you got to do that.
Okay, but wait.
Early on, hold on. Early on, one of my employees said to me, I feel like I'm playing Russian roulette every time I come to work. What kind of environment is that for a worker? That's tough when you hear that. I feel like I'm playing Russian roulette.
When you hear that, you're the employer. This is a store you own, and these people work for you.
And I care deeply about these people. These people have worked for us for a very long time. And I don't have the answer. And when you run a business and you're responsible for the people that work for you, it's a lot like family. And so when you're a parent, you know, you want to solve all problems for your children, no matter what age they are, right? Even though you know sometimes you can't. And now all of a sudden you have someone say that to you and you're like, oh my God, what are we supposed to do? And these people came to work every day. I agree with Steve in that, you know, there's a lot of people that didn't have a lot of choices. You know, for those that have jobs that they can work from home, and many people haven't had even a hiccup in the world, you know, in the world of technology. And I mean, imagine if this had happened 30 years ago.
Okay. What about that?
When we couldn't work from home.
Or imagine, you know, here we are talking about remote learning for school.
But we're not 30 years ago.
I understand, but
therein lies the difference. You can't do remote eating. You have to go to the grocery store, get the food, and bring it home, although there are delivery services. But you can do remote learning, and it's not as good, but the kids will still get some modicum of an education. If a teacher said, I would rather teach you remotely rather than meet you in the building, I think not only is that a fair assessment of the danger, but it's also a solution.
I think
you can learn from home.
I'm so glad Lou is yelling at you now instead of me, but I think
I'm not yelling.
No, John is. He's so angry today.
I'm not angry.
He is. He doesn't even know what he's arguing about.
But here's the thing.
Welcome to my show.
I think if we're going to talk about schools, you should argue the other side of it. And it's that the kids could be spreading it when they go home. Frankly, I think, I'm trying to sort it out in my own head. I think I'm less sympathetic to the teacher's concerns than I am to the expanded spread of the disease from the kids going home and going wherever they go. Because we have seen that a lot of kids tested positive
in school. That's a real concern, and you're sympathetic to that.
Yeah,
isn't that what the teachers are worried about?
The teachers seem to be worried about their own health, which I understand. I understand that they're worried about their own health, but I don't want to take a side here because I really don't know what the right thing to do is.
That's fair, Steve.
Yeah.
But what do you think is the greater ill, the teacher getting sick or the students not getting as good an education?
The students not getting as good an education.
I disagree.
But the third choice would be the students not getting as good an education, or the disease becoming much more widespread because there are outbreaks in all these schools. And I think that's not close. The education should suffer in that case.
Education should suffer. Well, now you're on my side. Boy, your show is all over the map, Steve. Listen to you.
Hey, Lou, why are you calling me?
Because of this. So here's why we asked Mr. Fix-It.
Weren't we going to talk about you taking a shower?
All right, we're going to talk about the president taking a shower. This is the president of the United States. He has said this sort of thing many times, but it was sure on his radar this week. This is Donald Trump.
Sinks, toilets, and showers. You don't get any water. They put restrictors on, and now they made them permanent. People used to take them out. Try going and buying a new faucet. You turn it on, no water comes out, right? How about the shower? You go into a shower, and I have this beautiful head of hair. I need a lot of water. And you go into the shower, right? You turn on the water, drip, drip. I call the guy, is something wrong with this? No, sir, it's just a restrictor. So you're in there five times longer than you're supposed to be. You use probably more water, and it's a very unpleasant experience, right? So we're getting rid of the restrictors. You're going to have full shower flow. Full sink.
Crowd going nuts for a full shower flow. That was the president in a rally, but in fact, he's following through on that. This is from BusinessInsider.com today. The Trump administration is moving to change showerhead regulations so they can spray more water, addressing a long-held annoyance of the president who says that he needs more water to wash his hair. Comically in that case, but you get the point. He wants us to have more water, as much water as we want. Later in the article, they write, under Trump's new plan, the 2.5-gallon limit, that's what you're living with now, would again apply to each shower head. So a shower with two heads could release 5 gallons a minute. One with four heads could release 10. In other words, they're counting all of those little spigots within your shower head as a shower head, each of them able to go 2.5. So where the whole flow of water right now is only supposed to be 2.5, it could be four times that amount under this administrative move by the president. Lou, what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, it's just, honestly, I think that this horse left the barn a long time ago. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when this all happened. I believe it was 92, and we were building and renovating houses, and people were so eager because they were going to change the making of this, and people were like, we got to get that old toilet, and we got to get the old, shower heads and faucets to be installed. And now the technology, I'm not going to comment on the president's hair, but if I were to guess, it doesn't look to be that thick. And so I don't necessarily know that he needs a lot of water, but I think that for most people, the amount of flow that we get is key. It's not pressure, it's volume of water. And already, John, if you have a shower with multiple heads that are doing 2.5, which 2.5 is what they call, that's what the mandate is, and there's lower flow from that. You can have all those shower heads in your shower turned on, and they will only go through 2.5 gallons each if you have the volume of water delivering to those. So there's two different things going on here.
Yeah.
But
here's the thing.
I
didn't even know the government was regulating the amount of water I can get through my shower head. I'm kind of shocked to hear
this. Well, it's been an EPA mandate since 92.
2.5 gallons a minute.
So this is your point, right? You didn't even know because it's fine for you. Go clean your shower head or clean the screen out and you'll be fine. 2.5 gallons of water. The average person in a home uses about 100 gallons of water a day. Think about that.
That's amazing.
A family of four will use 400 or over 400 gallons of water a day. Most of the water usage that a person uses comes from flushing toilets. And those are now, most toilets when you buy them now, are 1.8 gallon flush. People are like, oh, it doesn't work, you got to flush it twice. Not true. Buy the right toilet from the right manufacturer, it will flush it all day long. And so the technology has absolutely, if I could tell you, you could do everything that you want to do, but not use as much water, what is the harm in that? I mean, is there a is there an upside to us using more water?
Okay.
I mean, if we apply common sense?
Well, there's two answers to that. One is, it's my water. The government shouldn't be mommy-stating me, telling me how much water I should have. If I want 3 gallons, I ought to be able to pay for 3 gallons. It's water, for crying out loud. And number two...
Well, but it's our water. It's our water. In other words, it's not your water. I mean, if you have a well, and you have your own well, and you dug your well, you can use all the water you want until the well goes dry. But when you're talking about city and municipal water, don't we all have a responsibility to kind of be smart about that?
I guess so. So the federal government has said 2.5 gallons per minute is the amount that comes through. And if I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, but I'm not getting enough, as much water as I want, Mr. Fixit, you're here to tell me that maybe I should take the shower head off and clean the sediment out. It's not It's not the amount of water available. It's the amount that's coming through. My thing's all jammed up.
Yeah, and if you have an older home with galvanized pipes, you can have a shower head that will deliver, that, you know, for instance, if you have a Roman bathtub, you know, like a big old jacuzzi tub,
yeah,
that faucet, by design, and that is not regulated by the government, is what they call unrestricted. And if you go to fill up your jacuzzi tub with your 50-gallon water heater, your jacuzzi cup holds 75 gallons of water. You won't get enough hot water in there because it'll get there fast, but you won't get enough hot water to do that. And so if you don't have the volume, you have an old home, galvanized pipes, I don't care if the pipe, you just cut the end off and stand underneath it. You won't get the water because it's not flowing. So your problem has more to do with the water service coming to your house, the size of that, and the plumbing pipe inside of it.
Or you just go buy a $5 water saver nozzle, right? And it makes the mist finer and harder.
And it's like you're being pressure washed when you're in the shower.
It
not
is.
Comfortable.
Well, no, it works
no,
for
but
me.
I get the point. If you have so much water coming through and you've got a million little holes in the shower head, then you get a lot of flow, but it's not very pressurized. If you want more pressure, then just have fewer holes in the head, right, Lou? Lou? You seem to have lost Mr. Fixit.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Correct. Yes.
What are you doing, Lou?
And my phone is ringing off the hook. People are like, hey, you're on the radio.
Is there a pet bird behind you or something?
It sounded like a siren, and I think he's either being arrested or he's being attacked. I'm an advocate of both. It's 11:26. We need to pause for a second, but I just have one question for Lou when we come back after a quick break, and that is this. Okay, so... If the president says that if this is going to be true, that they're not going to limit you to 2.5 gallons of water per minute, then how, and I'm not advocating this, but you may want it, and I'm just here to tell you what to do. Then how do you do that? Do I need to get a new shower head? Because I can't change my shower head now. It's already restricting the flow, right? Lou, help me out with that. Huh. More Lou Manfredini. After news headlines after this, free music happening live on an old town street. Meet some professional musicians playing for the pure love of it. That's tonight's cover story at WGN TV News at 9. Steve Bertrand's news in 60 seconds. 30 years ago, that Dave Rampage was a young man. He was in the carpet cleaning business working for a company. They said, get in the house, clean your carpets, upsell them. Tell them, well, we're going to need to do more and it's going to cost you more. And he didn't like that. He thought there ought to be a better way, something that's more ethical, more trustworthy, more honorable when you go into somebody's home. So he started his own carpet cleaning business. Flash forward 3 decades, and Executive Green Carpet Cleaning is the premier carpet cleaning company in Chicagoland. Don't let that name confuse you. Executive Green, they'll come to your house. They'll come to your business, too. But they did my folks' house in Joliet, my sister's house in Joliet. They were thrilled with the deal, $139 for 3 rooms, sparkling clean. Family business, too. Dave is still there, general manager. His daughter, his son-in-law, his daughter-in-law, they're all on the front line, either doing the work or answering the phones. So here's who you call. Executive Green Carpet Cleaning, 630-990-8600. 630-990-8600. Online, visit executivegreencarpetcleaning.com. If the president says, okay, you no longer have to be restricted by 2.5 gallons of water per minute coming out of your shower head, you can get all you want. How do I do that after this? Thank you, Steve. I'm John Williams. This is the end of that conversation with Lou Manfredini, our Mr. Fixit. Then we visit with Alderman Brandon Riley about safety in the city and what happened downtown. But, Lou, here's the thing. If the president says that you can have more than 2.5 gallons of water come through your shower head. It's been a pet peeve of his, and he doesn't like government oversight in your life. So he says, okay, we're going to end that restriction. You can have four times that amount of water coming out of your shower. I need to get a new fixture because the one I have now doesn't allow for any more than 2.5
gallons.
And are those for sale? Like, how do I do that? Where would I even go?
You won't go anywhere because, okay, let's think about this from a practical standpoint. You're a manufacturer of shower heads, your Delta, your Moen, your Kohler. Your manufacturing is all set up. The president just said something. Let's just say that they take the restrictions off. By the time they retool and do all this other kind of stuff, who knows who's going to be in the White House come January?
Yeah.
So if I'm a business owner, I'm going, I'm not going to do anything. Now, you will probably get in your Instagram and Twitter feed a shower head that some, you know, a company will whip out real quick that you can order online, and you'll be lucky if it comes in. But if I'm a major U.S. manufacturer of these devices, I wouldn't do diddly-you-know-what until after January 1st.
Squat? Well, then, is there a little thing inside there, Lou, like I could just scrape out?
I have been told, John, although I am not advocating this whatsoever, that in some, there's just some restrictor that, you know, if you held it a certain way, it may just fall out. And in other instances, if you took a drill and you drilled the hole a little bit larger, you would get more volume. I in no way am advocating doing that because that, of course, would be against the federal regulations. And I am a law-abiding rule follower.
Well, whatever you meant by that, I could feel your tongue in your cheek. You also think 2.5 gallons is enough.
I do. And I also think that if you play life by the rules all the time, you miss out on some of the fun.
Well, boy, John, you haven't brought this up. This is an ecological issue, too, right? This isn't just about...
100%. 100%.
You mean the reason that they're limiting us to 2.5 gallons?
Yeah.
Water is the new oil. But here's the last thing then, Lou. So 2.5 gallons are coming through, but maybe it's not because I'm not getting enough water. The volume of water coming to that shower head is not sufficient.
Have you ever seen the CLR commercial where they take the bowl and they hold it up to your shower head? If you have the wherewithal to unscrew the shower head, which is easy to do, grab the shower arm, grab a wrench, loosen the shower head, put it in a bowl of CLR, 100%, with maybe a little bit of water, and let it soak there for a couple hours. Then take an old toothbrush and scrub it and put it back on. I promise you that shower head's going to work better.
Okay, but maybe the piping in my whole house has got that clogging.
Then you call Repipe Specialists. They can change out the plumbing in your house in as little as 2 days.
Okay, but that's...
And they'll do all the drywall patching.
And this is a commercial for them.
And they're sponsored on WGN.
And you and I aren't kidding about this. I mean, but seriously,
no.
That may be the problem. It's not 2.5 gallons at the shower head. It's that you're just not getting enough flow in your whole house.
The volume of water is what dictates. You're probably, in an old house, you're not getting 2.5 gallons anyway because the risers that come from your water main are not free and clear. In a newer home, yes. If you've got a copper service where, you know, in the city of Chicago, if you put in a new single-family residential home, you have an inch and a half copper water service coming in. Most homes in Chicago have a three-quarter-inch lead pipe. You're not getting that kind of volume anyway. Now, I live in an older home with a three-quarter-inch lead pipe. I have new copper in the piping in the home that I put in back in 2001, and I've got 2.5 shower heads, and it's just fine. Hmm. And I feel good when I lay my head at night that I'm not wasting water.
And I've seen you. You look clean.
I'm done talking
I'm
to
clean,
Lou Manfredini now.
And I have a lot. You know what? I had more hair put on my head, too, and it's just fine.
Goodbye, Lou.
By the way, I love you people.
We will hear you Saturday morning at, you're on all
7
day.
7 a.m.
7 a.m. coast to coast, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. here on WGN.
Love you people.
Mr. Fix-It. That's Lou Manfredini, and we love him too. And I know you do as well.